bike again but have some limitations. For more information, visit LasVegasCyclery.com. We're located at 10575 Discovery Drive at the exit ramp of Town Center and 215. Our phone number is 702-596-2953. And for those of you who are interested in a more extended outdoor experience, visit escapeadventures.com for gift cards and a one-of-a-kind outdoor adventure. Escapeadventures.com.
Gather around!
Washington, D.C. I got a lot of evil there, but we're getting it out step by step. A lot of evil. A lot of bad people. A lot of bad people, a lot of fake media. Look at them. A lot of fake media.
Listen up!
NBC is perhaps worse than CNN, I have to tell you. And MSNBC is horrible.
Check it out!
It's 1999. I'm on Meet the Press, a show now headed by Sleepy Eyes Chuck Todd. He's a sleeping son of a bitch, I'll tell you.
That sounds awfully harsh. Why can't you be a little more supportive?
Number one! Time is running out! Number two! Time is running out! Number three! Time is running out! Number four!
Ladies and gentlemen, Kevin Wall.
So good to have you with us live and local now. Time now to check in with our eyes and ears in the Coachella Valley, the pride of Indian Wells, and a guy that's been spending a lot of time in the Windy City with grandkids and family, my friend Jim Yoder, who joins us. Jim, how you been, my friend? Are you still in Chicago?
Hey, I'm doing great, Kevin. How are you doing today?
I am doing just absolutely fine. You still in Chicago?
I'm still in Chicago, having a great time where they're trying to keep up with California. They just mandated that all public schools have to teach LGBTQ history to all students.
No.
Isn't that wonderful? It's mandated by the legislature thanks to the new governor, Pritzker.
Wow.
Yeah, they're keeping up with California, aren't they?
Well, and you know. That'll be coming to Southern Nevada. It'll be coming to the rest of the state sometime soon. Does it bother you living in Indian Wells that you see this stuff all around you? And at times there's almost a feeling like, man, we can't get away from this stuff. It keeps spewing out of the People's Republic of California. But you're right there on the firing line. Do you see that much in the Coachella Valley?
I really don't. Like I've said before, I kind of live in an oasis, and I'm surrounded by the real California. But you know it's coming. It's kind of creeping in a little bit, but not too badly. Indian Wells is so small. There's only 5,500 full-time residents. Now, in the wintertime, it swells to about 50,000. That just shows you, people have their second, third, some people have their fifth and sixth homes in Indian Wells. So it's a lot of six-month people that come in and out. And a lot of them come from conservative environments where they live more permanently. So we don't have the experience that you have like in Los Angeles and San Francisco, San Diego, some of these other cities. But you know it's coming. It has to be. It's spreading. I feel like Donald Trump, as great as he's doing, I just think he's just a roadblock in what's going to eventually happen here, and we're headed on a rocket ship to socialism, and I don't think that train can be stopped.
I know one of the things, and you and I have talked about this off-air, I don't know that we've ever talked on-air, about the breakdown of the family. You know, everybody's looking for answers as to why Gilroy happens, why 1 October happens, why El Paso and Dayton and all these other gun tragedies happen. And, of course, the left wants to paint it as it's all about guns. But you and I have talked about the breakdown of the American family. Can you go through a little bit of this with us? Why this seems to be happening more and more, whether it's Gilroy or whether it's El Paso or whether it's Dayton?
Well, this is just one of many mantras that the Democrats have established over the lifetime of their party. They love to create problems so they can come back and solve them. But they always blame anybody but themselves. But the guns are not the problem. I mean, let's go back to the 1960s when we had the war on poverty. That encouraged fatherless homes. That they were paying women to not have fathers in the homes and to have more kids. So right there, when you don't have a father in the home and you're going to decrease your chance of making it in the world by about 50% just because you're not going to get an education, you're not going to have discipline. But how about all these violent video games that Hollywood puts out? Hollywood puts out all these movies, these video games and things, and then they cry about guns. Well, they're the ones promoting the violence. They're promoting the guns. And then just also the relaxation of these borders here. They're just encouraging illegal immigrants to come in, and nobody can be so naive to think that these immigrants are fleeing poverty and they have all these altruistic intentions and to be good citizens. They're coming here because they have an opportunity to make it without having to do a whole lot of work, and that doesn't help anything. And then look at the drug use. You know, back in the 60s, there was marijuana. And then in the 2000s, there was another version of marijuana. In the 60s, marijuana wasn't near as potent as the marijuana that we have today. And all these recreational drugs are becoming accepted into our society. And that cannot be good because it does alter the state of people's mental capacity at times. And then you've got the schools. You got so many parents. You got the two-parent home now. You know, when you and I were growing up, our mothers most likely didn't work. Now you got the two-parent home working, and so the mothers aren't there when you come home from school. And they're not engaged with the schools. They're not engaged with the PTAs and things like that. So the schools are basically allowed to have a free run with the kids. And they're teaching these kids indoctrinating them what they want them to know, and the parents aren't doing their parental job by checking up on the schools. And so the kids are, you know, they're kind of going off the rails here, and the parents aren't doing their job. And, of course, you know, you got President Obama, who I think encouraged the disrespect of law enforcement officers. When you lose your law enforcement ability to contain the population, you've got free reign. You've got no law and order, no nothing. And we're seeing that today. Look at what's going on in New York with these policemen, and they're not doing a darn thing about it. They're talking about doing things about it, but they're really not. And then they're allowing our veterans, you know, this started in 68 with coming back from Vietnam. You know, the disrespect that we have for our veterans is just appalling to me. I mean, these guys put their life on the line every day for this country, so these people have the right to do what they're doing. And the disrespect, it just, to me, it's all part of the same thing. And then you've got these congressional people. How are we electing these people in Congress that have all these anti-Semitic hate messages coming out of them, yet they're accusing the Republicans of being hateful? But they're the ones that are really doing it, and we're electing these people into Congress to just tear down our Constitution. So I don't know.
Well, I know one of the things I have heard from a number of my friends over the course of the last 2 or 3 weeks with all this talk of white nationalism is that, first of all, this is a very, very, very small subset of a small group of Americans. Is there a myth that's developed around white supremacy and white nationalism?
Well, that's the word I used with you when you and I communicated off the air. I definitely think it's a myth, and people like Don Lemon love to promote this. But the fact of the matter is, if you look at the statistics, you know, every year there's about 400,000 what I would call interracial violent crimes, black, white violent crimes. And they love to accuse the cops of being biased towards the blacks and the whites and all that. But the fact of the matter is, if you talk about murder or rape or attempted murder, manslaughter, anything like that, assault, 85% of that is perpetrated by a black individual, not a white. 85% of it. And blacks happen to kill double the whites as whites kill blacks. But you don't hear that on the CNNs and all these people that want to establish a certain thread of thought throughout the country. But those are the facts, just like the cops. The cops don't have a war on the black people. They have a war on the people who are committing the crimes, and they just go after the people who commit the crimes. So I definitely think it's a myth.
More coming up with Jimmy Yoder. our eyes and ears in the Coachella Valley. We'll do that and more coming up. My name is Kevin Wall. The program is live and local now. For years now, I've been telling you how I love the great smooth taste of Real Water. I also love the convenience and cost savings of their home delivery service. Real Water has upped its game again with Real Water Concentrate. Just a few squirts of the Real Water Concentrate, and you can transform any good purified water into Real Water. To learn more, just go to my website, kevinwallradio.com. That's kevinwallradio.com, and click on the Real Water icon at the top right of the page. Now, you can get Real Water anytime, anyplace, on the go.
Roberto's Taco Shop, real Mexican food you like.
Everyone knows when it comes to real Mexican food, there's only one name that comes to mind. Roberto's. Ah, the Chili Colorado Combo, a favorite of mine. Made with chunks of savory beef, smothered in a delicious tangy red chili sauce. Served with fluffy Mexican-style rice and beans.
Roberto's Taco Shop, real Mexican food you like.
Oh, yeah. It's magnifico.
Hey, Kevin Wall here. A few months ago, a friend invited me for a Tuesday evening of fun at Ichabod's Lounge. Ichabod's isn't in my neighborhood, and yeah, I had to drive an extra 10 minutes, but boy, am I glad I did. What I didn't know at the time was that Ichabod's has been there for 31 years and family-owned for 19 years. It's one of the top gaming bars in Las Vegas, with the best promotions and amazing monthly cash giveaways and payouts. As they say at Ichabod's, we manage with generosity. Ichabod's features incredible menu items, including steaks, seafood, burgers, pasta, and five daily specials. And their kitchen's open 24 hours for you late-night foodies. And I just love Ichabod's old-school Vegas atmosphere. When everybody else is cutting back, Ichabod's continues to super-serve its customers. Check out their nightly entertainment at the Piano Bar from 6:30 to 10:30. You want to win? You want to have fun? Then I'll see you at Ichabod's Vintage Vegas Dining, Gaming Lounge, and Piano Bar on East Flamingo at Pecos.
Hello, this is Jared Fisher. I'm a business owner, community thought leader, and I ran for governor in 2018. As the owner of Las Vegas Cyclery and Escape Adventures, I know the importance of exercise and spending time in the outdoors. And I know the amazing outdoor experiences we have in Nevada. Las Vegas Cyclery has kids' bikes, affordable hybrid mountain bikes, and gift cards. We also have a wide variety of the latest e-bikes, which allows anyone to ride a bike, especially for those who want to ride a bike again but have some limitations. For more information, visit LasVegasCyclery.com. We're located at 10575 Discovery Drive at the exit ramp of Town Center and 215. Our phone number is 702-596-2953. And for those of you who are interested in a more extended outdoor experience, visit escapeadventures.com for gift cards and a one-of-a-kind outdoor adventure. Escapeadventures.com.
Mayhem is everywhere.
I'm a gravel truck. I'm busy laying the foundation for your city's newest suburb. And since it's such a nice day out, I thought I'd go topless. With 20 tons of pebbles loaded into my trailer bed, what's the worst that could happen? Now you're stuck behind me, and I'm about to make it rain. Rocks. Uh-oh, maybe I should have put a tarp over that. Now you're swerving, but there's no avoiding this downpour. Better watch out for that guardrail. And if your cut rate insurance doesn't cover this, you could get pelted with repair bills. So get Allstate, where agents help protect you from mayhem. Like me.
For a free quote, call Las Vegas Allstate agent Sam Peters today at 702-870-4000. That's 702-870-4000, or stop by either of Sam's convenient Las Vegas locations. Subject to terms, conditions, availability, and coverage selected.
See what the personal service of an Allstate agent can do for you. Are you in good hands?
790 Las Vegas and 98.1 Palm Springs. Talk now. Talk that rocks.
Don't forget this hour of Live and Local Now, brought to you by Las Vegas Cyclery, featuring kids' bikes, affordable hybrids, mountain bikes, and Las Vegas Cyclery has a wide variety of the latest e-bikes for those of you who want to ride again but you have some physical limitations. Check them out right now at LasVegasCyclery.com. That's LasVegasCyclery.com. One of the things that we like to do is we like to make our phone lines available to you. We're going to do that right now at 844, the number 2, Nevada. That's 844-263-8232. Jimmy Oter with us from the Windy City of Chicago. He'll be headed back after the first of the month, back to Indian Wells. You know, there's a lot of stuff in the media about gun control, which now is being rebranded as gun safety. But the fact is that we don't hear a lot of stories about how guns actually save lives. And you've got one this morning, right?
Well, in a city not too far from where you and I grew up, Springfield, Missouri. Now, that's 2 hours south of where we grew up, and it's, as you know, it's the Ozarks country, hunting, fishing. So a lot of people are armed down there, and those people have good intentions with their guns. But wasn't it a couple of weeks ago where a guy walked into Walmart, he had 100 rounds of ammunition, he was ready to shoot up the place. And an armed off-duty police officer spotted him and took him down. And this guy probably saved, what, upwards of 100 lives. He might have saved 10 lives. He might have saved 100. Who knows? And that's kind of the point. You hear about something like that, and then it just goes away because they don't want to talk about the people that were saved by guns. They only want to talk about the people who were killed with somebody who was using a gun. But why isn't the news interviewing all these people that were in Walmart in Springfield that are still walking around having their lives because this guy saved their life with a gun?
The president has gotten in trouble for talking about rat-infested areas like Baltimore and other American cities, blessed, if you will, I say that tongue-in-cheek, by Democrat leadership for sometimes upwards of five decades. And now we've got great evidence that Los Angeles, you know, the Golden State, that Los Angeles is infested with rats too. How bad is it in some of these large cities in the People's Republic of California?
You know, Kevin, it seems like every time we talk, I have some good California-ism for you. This week's no exception. California, L.A. now is experiencing diseases that were eradicated 50 years ago because of the rats in Los Angeles. They're carrying it around typhus, and people are now coming back with measles, and they're even talking about bubonic plague is coming through there. So it's a pretty serious problem. And the legislature, though, has just now passed a law outlawing pesticides, what they consider second-generation rodent control. That would be you can't use a pesticide on the rodents who prey on the rats because it's unfair to them. So I don't understand what their purpose is to allow this to go on in the first place, and then they don't even want to do anything to eradicate the problem. In fact, they're working to not eradicate the problem. I just don't understand what their end game is here. But it's a serious problem in downtown Los Angeles.
I know we've all just in the last couple of days been following the volatile markets. In fact, I'm looking at it now. The Dow Jones is down 673. It was down 198. It was down 600-700. It's back to being down 600-700. One of the things that we're starting to see from the fake news media is this whole notion that maybe we're headed for a recession, and that this is the prelude to a recession. Even though when the president says good things about China, the Dow goes up. When he says bad things about China, the Dow goes down. What do you make of this? And do you think that Democrats, who are probably just begging for a recession, to not allow the president to talk about the economy in a presidential race, do you get a sense this is what they're aiming at?
What does it say about the Democratic Party throughout when they are actually cheering for a recession And they want people to be hurting in America so they can get rid of a duly elected president. One thing I saw today was in the bond market, it's totally inverted. If you put $10,000 into the bonds today on a 10-year note, you will get, in 10 years, you will get $9,000 back. I mean, it's totally inverted. Yet if you put into a 2-year Treasury note, you'll make a little money. So it's the opposite of what it should be. And that is, that forecasts a recession by most people's standards. So I'm a little bit concerned. The last thing we need is to have a recession right before this election, because that could really doom Trump. And this country cannot afford to let that happen. So we'll see what happens. But I just can't believe that these people are actively cheering for a recession to get rid of a president at the expense of the people in the country.
That's absolutely bizarre. The president spoke yesterday, Beaver County, Pennsylvania. He'll be in Manchester, New Hampshire tomorrow night, actually tomorrow afternoon Pacific time. Is this going to be the way the president campaigns from here on out, that he's just going to go over the head of the fake news media and go directly to the people?
He has no choice. I mean, you know, all the people, all the Democrats saying, get off Twitter. Of course they want him off Twitter, because they don't want him defending himself. Is he supposed to rely on what the fake news media interprets his intentions to be to get the word out to the public? This is the only thing he can do. I'm really interested to see how he is received in Manchester, New Hampshire, because he's right up there in Bernie Sanders territory there. And that'll be very, very interesting to see. But we all cringe occasionally at some of the things he says on Twitter. We all do. We understand that. But if you look at the totality of it, he's usually pretty right on in what he says. It may take a week or two for that to come to fruition, for everybody to realize that what sounds like it's ridiculous now, a week from now, it's pretty spot on.
Yeah.
But he doesn't really have a choice but to do what he's doing.
Wow. Jim, safe travels home. We're gonna see you in studio in a couple of weeks.
I will be there, Kevin. You and I'll go to Ichabod's and have dinner.
There you go. Sounds like a deal to me. Jim Yoder, joining us from the Windy City of Chicago. See if he survives the People's Republic of Cook County. Ooh, that's scary. Stick around. More to do. It's our wall-to-wall free-for-all coming up next. You call in 844, the number 2, Nevada. That's 844-263-8232. I'm Kevin Wall. We'll get to your calls on the other side. Live and local now.
What will you do when you get haunted? Nobody's waiting by your side. You've been running the party much too long. You know it's just your foolish pride. Hey, you got me on my knees. Hey, I beg you, darling, please. Hey, darling, won't you hear my heart?
Springs. Talk now. Talk that rocks.
Don't you love her, man? All across the state of Nevada and in SoCal, too. It's live and local now. Good to have you with us. Coming up in just a couple of minutes, Michael Joyce, Deputy Press Secretary for the Republican National Committee. And we'll get a chance to ask one of the key strategy guys for the Republican National Committee the significance of going to Pennsylvania, a petrochemical plant. A Dutch Shell is the major manufacturer, but they're building a huge site in Beaver County, and it's going to be huge. And I asked Michael Joyce from the RNC the significance of the president going there yesterday.
You know, I think we saw what we already knew. You know, President Trump addressed workers and tooted the administration's pro-energy policies. We've allowed U.S. energy and production and exports soar under President Trump. And I think it's by 2020, we're expected to see that we'll be exporting more energy than imports in the first time since 1953. We're also the largest crude oil producer in the world, and we're trending towards becoming a net exporter of oil and refined fuels. And you have to just look back to 2016 to realize that coal exports have risen more than 90%. So it's very clear that President Trump's economy and pro-energy policies are delivering for folks in Pennsylvania. And heading into the rally in New Hampshire later this week, I think you can expect to hear the same thing. You know, this economy is truly working for all Americans, not just wealthy Americans like Democrats like to claim falsely. But this is really delivering. We're seeing a lot of manufacturing jobs coming back. And while President Trump is focused on getting jobs for manufacturers all over the country, you have folks like Joe Biden at the Democrat debates in Detroit saying he wants to eliminate all fossil fuels, and every single Democrat who supports the Green New Deal wants to get rid of fossil fuels as well. So the contrast couldn't be more clear, and I think we see why we deserve to give President Trump four more years in 2020.
You know, it's a pretty interesting political argument. It's a fairly easy political argument to make. When the president yesterday says, hey, you know, these Democrats, they want to put all of you out of a job. And it's true.
Yeah, it's crazy. You know, they're literally going around the country right now. They're going to early primary states. They're going to swing states. And they're telling voters to their faces, we're here to put you out of work. And it's more than Hillary Clinton's 2016 line where she said, well, a lot of coal miners are going to go out of work. Now it's everybody. So if you're in the auto industry, kiss your jobs goodbye. We're getting rid of fossil fuels. That means no more gasoline, so no more cars. We're done with that. I don't know. I guess they didn't learn any lessons from the 2016 election. And, you know, President Trump has a message that continues to resonate with voters all over the country, specifically these swing voters in these critical states, specifically in the Rust Belt, saying, we understand that President Trump is fighting for us. He made a lot of promises to us in 2016, and he's kept those promises. And that's why we're going to go out and vote for him. And I think, you know, the proof is in the pudding. Over 500,000 manufacturing jobs have been added since the president was elected. Optimism in the manufacturing industry is at an all-time high. And 85% of blue-collar workers believe their lives are headed in a positive direction thanks to President Trump. Contrast that with someone like Joe Biden. You know, they're telling people there's no place for fossil fuels and natural gas in our country. So, again, you know, I think people see that this president fights for them every single day. And he's actually getting things done for them, even in the face of a two-year, $35 million special counsel and in the face of unprecedented obstruction from Democrats in Congress right now.
Well, and the latest, and I just noticed this today, you may have already seen it, that the fake news media now is trying to spook us into believing there's going to be a recession. And, of course, a recession would put a major dent into the economic news that the president likes to talk about. I saw CNN today. They're talking about, the Dow is down 500, and that must mean that I guess we're on the way to a recession. Is this the latest strategy? They tried the Russian collusion. It didn't work. They tried obstruction of justice. It didn't work. They've tried impeachment. It's not working. And now they're going to try and spook the American public into believing we're headed for a recession. Is that a political strategy?
Oh, yeah. It's unfortunate because they just throw the kitchen sink at President Trump, everything he tries to do. You know, go back to when he got elected. You had left-wing economists come out and say, you know, this economy is going to send us into a global recession, maybe even a global depression. President Trump can't clear 3% GDP for an entire year. Of course, he did that. President Obama was never able to do that. They say that, you know, the tax cuts, the extra money that you got in your wallet from tax reform, Nancy Pelosi called it Armageddon. And now we're hearing the same thing again. You know, this is what they continue to do. Elizabeth Warren is actually rooting for a recession, which is disgusting. Bill Maher's hoping for one. Members of the mainstream media are hoping for a recession, using it to attack President Trump. It's disgusting, but it's because they have no answer to the fact that this is one of the hottest economies in decades. You had record low unemployment for African Americans, for Latinos. Latino home ownership is at an all-time high in this country right now. You look at all of the consumer optimism out there. It's at record highs. They don't have a response to this economy right now. So they continue to throw the kitchen sink at President Trump and say either we're headed for a recession or he's a white supremacist or a racist. They're going to continue to do this. But, you know, voters aren't as stupid as Democrats think they are. I think a lot of folks out there understand that this president has delivered for them, and that's why they're going to go out and vote for him next year.
Can I ask, I know those of you at the, whether it's press secretaries or you folks at the RNC, you interact with the White House on a regular basis. How does this president keep going when every day, the only time we've seen any downtime for the president was during the funeral of George H.W. Bush and maybe during one of these mass shootings. How is it the president keeps functioning? Doesn't he ever get discouraged? Doesn't he ever get down? Doesn't he ever say, you know, I think I'd like to go back to my other life, you know, the one where I'm a rich celebrity?
Yeah, well, you know, the thing about President Trump is the guy's a heavyweight. You know, we've seen it time and time again. He's not afraid to fight back. Republicans have had that issue in the past where, you know, we were a little scared perhaps to fight back. But you're seeing it with President Trump. You're seeing it with Republican leadership in Congress now. This president loves our country. And I can tell you, everyone I've worked with, everyone that we work with here at the RNC, you know, we've worked with the First Family. I've actually staffed some of the First Family members on some events out in the States last cycle. And, you know, they love the country. They understand what they could have, but they chose this life and they chose this path because they truly love America and they love fighting for Americans and all Americans every single day. You see it with President Trump. You see it with the First Family members, with Don Jr., with Eric, with Laura, all these great members. They're amazing and they love this country and they love fighting for us every day. So I think that's what keeps them going. And, you know, they look past the nonsense and they even make fun of it. And we all have a good laugh when they do that. So, yeah, I think the love for the country is unparalleled in this president right now.
Again, Michael Joyce joining us, Deputy Press Secretary for the RNC, the Republican National Committee. The president has promised to get Congress rolling on some sort of gun control legislation, background checks, maybe some red flag laws. No word yet on assault weapons ban. But I'm curious, is Mitch McConnell and the White House on the same page? We're getting mixed messages from his staff, not from him, but from his staff as to what Mitch McConnell might agree to bring up.
Yeah, I think so. I think when we look at this right now, you know, President Trump, after the horrific shootings in Dayton and El Paso, came out and said that we need to have bipartisan solutions to this. And I think it's easy for all of us to understand that, you know, there are red flags of some sick individuals in our country right now. And a lot of those red flags go unnoticed. So red flag laws seem to be a good starting point. I think we can have a conversation about it, get the ball rolling. But, you know, I think we can all agree on our side that no matter what Mitch McConnell, Republicans in Congress, President Trump, and Nancy Pelosi in the House decide to do, it'll never be good enough for Democrats. You know, when we banned bump stocks, when the administration banned those, still not good enough. Here we are having conversations saying that didn't do enough. We need to do more. You know, so of course, Democrats stick to their guns and try to, you know, get rid of basically the Second Amendment. They basically want to, you know, they want the gun buybacks. They want all these things. They want extra background checks. I don't think we need to necessarily go that far, but I think everyone can agree that we need to take action. So it'll be interesting to see how it shakes out. I don't know where it'll take us, but I think we can all agree on mental health being a key issue in this, and we need to do more about it. And you hear that from Republican leadership. You hear it out of President Trump and the administration as well.
We're talking about gun control and what the next step will be. Are you convinced that there is the will in Congress to do at least something extra when it comes to gun control? I mean, this 6-week recess, you know, a lot of members of the legislative branch of government can end up just kind of punting on this thing. There won't be the demonstrations. There won't be the protests. Do you think that there really is a will in Congress to get something done meaningful, since, kind of a common sense deal?
Yeah, you know, unfortunately, I think the problem is that congressional Democrats and 2020 Democrats running for president right now, they're on the same page of we should use this as an opportunity to score political points. I don't think they actually care about getting anything done. I mean, look at Beto O'Rourke. As soon as these shootings happen in his hometown of El Paso, he goes on national TV, calls President Trump a white supremacist after President Trump already condemned white supremacy for the, you know, third, fourth, fifth time, whatever it was, that following Monday. And then only after he calls the president a racist and a white supremacist does he decide to temporarily put his campaign on hold due to the horrific shooting. So, you know, we're seeing this time and time again. They're fundraising off of these mass shootings. It's disgusting. I don't think Democrats are coming to the table in good faith. I think they're just using this to score petty political points and continue to attack the president. So whatever does get done in Congress, you know, remains to be seen. But I don't think Democrats, like so many other issues right now, are coming to the table in good faith negotiation.
Michael, tell me what's going on out in the field. I know that the RNC and the 2020 reelect campaign have been working hand in hand. Can you give me a sense of what's going on the ground? We always talk about polling, but every time I talk to somebody from the RNC, they say, forget about polling. It's all about modeling. I thought modeling was a career that young women took when they wanted to make a lot of money. Explain what this whole modeling thing is about, and what is it the RNC is doing right now?
Yeah, well, I think the proof is in the pudding with our data. I mean, look at 2016. The RNC and the Trump campaign, you know, we had conversations leading up to Election Day that weekend saying, you know, we're seeing data that suggests you can win Michigan. What do they need on the ground in Michigan to secure a win for President Trump? And they said, can you get him up here? Next thing you know, President Trump flies up, holds a rally. The mainstream media is attacking him left and right, saying, why are you going to Michigan and Pennsylvania? You're never going to win those states. Well, we were looking at our own modeling that was saying President Trump does have a path to victory. And, you know, we don't really look at public polling as much. We trust our data a lot more because we've sunk over $300 million into it dating back to 2012. We offer the RNC's data to every single Republican candidate up and down the ballot free of charge. Democrats charge for access to their data system, and they haven't been doing what we've been doing dating back to the 2014 election cycle. So it's very Big Brother sounding, but we've gathered over, you know, I think the average is over 3,000 data points minimum on every single voter in the country, regardless of where you fall on the spectrum. And so we don't look at it as how liberal or conservative is somebody. We look at it as how likely are you to actually turn out and vote in this election? And specifically, what is it that's driving you out to turn out in this election? So we have a very sophisticated targeting method that we use to target voters, whether that's door to door when we go knock on your door or make the phone call, or if we're targeting you with an ad online and trying to get you to pay attention to something that we know you already care about. So we use that data very effectively. We have a permanent data-driven ground game in basically every battleground state across the country, especially including a state like Nevada. So we have a ground game that never leaves the state. So it's not the kind of thing where, you know, the RNC will parachute in, you know, have some paid staff on the ground, and then we tell everyone, hey, you know, come out this Saturday, let's go knock doors. It's a much more sophisticated system where we basically train volunteers and activists as if they're fellow staff members, and we put them in control of building out their own teams, because we understand having, you know, your neighbor knocking on your door is a lot easier. Someone that you go to church with every Sunday, it's a lot easier to talk to that person as opposed to someone like Mike, who lives out in the swamp that is Washington, D.C., flying in and trying to tell you, you know, what you should think or what you should feel about a certain issue. So it's very community focused. It's focused on local neighborhoods. We took a long, hard look at what we did wrong after President Obama's reelect in 2012, and they had a lot of community organizing focused things too. But now, fast forward to 2020, we're so far ahead of what the Democrats can do on the ground in any state. You know, all I can say is good luck to their candidates up and down the ballot in 2020, because our permanent data-driven ground game, when we take the information we get at the doors and we pump that into our data, we know which voters we need to talk to win any state across the country. So the president is building a massive juggernaut between the Trump campaign, the RNC, Trump victory, as well as every other candidate up and down the ballot. We're basically all synced in together in unison using the same data so that we can effectively talk to the right people. So it's very Big Brother sounding, but it's very effective at the same time. And it allows us to talk to the voters that we need to talk to make sure that not only President Trump, but every Republican up and down the ballot has a successful election here in 2020.
I've got less than a minute, but so when the president last night in Beaver County, Pennsylvania, says, hey, we're doing great here in Pennsylvania, we're doing great in Florida, when he starts rattling off states where he says he's doing well, he's not just blowing smoke, is he?
Absolutely not. And, you know, every speech, every rally the president holds, it's all for a very, very specific reason why we go to these specific areas. And so the president knows, he understands what he's seeing, what the Trump campaign is seeing, what the RNC is seeing, all looks very good. We're not cocky, but we're certainly confident about the president's reelect chances, as well as, you know, keeping our majority and expanding our majority in the United States Senate. And taking back the House, which, you know, when you have the socialist squad driving the narrative in the House, we feel great about our chances of retaking the House this cycle. So things are looking great for us. All of our modeling and data says that things are looking good, but we understand what we're up against, which is a very rabid Democrat base who wants to impeach President Trump And they want to basically rip the Constitution to shreds. So yeah, we're doing everything we can day in and out, fighting against a faulty narrative, some negative media coverage against President Trump that seems to be never ending. And, you know, we feel very good about our chances.
Michael Joyce, Deputy Press Secretary, joining us earlier in the program. Stick around. Your phone calls. It's our wall-to-wall free-for-all. 844, the number 2, Nevada. That's 844-263-8232. I'm Kevin Wall, the program, live and local, now. Are you among the millions of Americans who feel uncertain when it comes to their health care? Hey, Kevin Wall here. I'm happy to inform you there is a solution, and that solution is Liberty HealthShare. Liberty HealthShare is a community of like-minded people who work together to pay for their medical costs. There are no networks, so you choose your doctor and hospital. Liberty HealthShare allows you to easily decide how, when, and where you will access healthcare. It could be the best practical, moral, and economical choice for you and your family. Starting at $107 a month for a single, up to $449 a month for a family, that's mom, dad, and all kids. This is the way healthcare should be. For information, call 855-58-LIBERTY. That's 855-58-LIBERTY. Or visit lightyourliberty.com. That's lightyourliberty.com. And regain control over healthcare costs. Together, we're changing healthcare for good.
Roberto Taco Shop. Real Mexican food you like. Come celebrate the taste and press selection of classic Mexican plates.
In Las Vegas, no one needs to remind you about Wednesdays at Roberto's Taco Shop. Indeed, it's a $1.29 chicken taco day. You heard it right. Ah, grande, juicy, crunchy tacos. Loaded with hot, savory chicken, crispy lettuce, and mounds of cheese, all for just $1.29 each. Add a refreshing drink and perfecto. $1.29 chicken tacos, only at Roberto's Taco Shop. I like what they've done to my Wednesdays. Stop in today and be our guest to the best. Roberto's 24-hour taco shop, with 50 convenient locations serving you.
Roberto's Taco Shop, real Mexican food you like. Oh, yeah.
It's amazing how time flies. Hey, Kevin Wall here, your host on Live and Local Now and the owner of Battle Born Radio Corp. It was just over 3 years ago that I was dragged kicking and screaming into the 21st century. I knew my small business would have to move warp speed into this new digital era. That's when I called Sofa King Creative Group. Locally owned and operated, Sofa King Creative Group designs and manages areas of digital marketing for a wide variety of clients. Their marketing team provides fully integrated solutions, whether you need a company brand, graphic design project, an engaging mobile-friendly website. What I like best about Sofa King Creative Group, they showed me how an increased web presence can mean more profit for my small business. Let the pros at Sofa King Creative Group help you and your small business. Ask for a free analysis of your current marketing strategies. Call 702-965-2016. That's 702-965-2016. Or check them out at SofaKingCreativeGroup.com. That's SofaKingCreativeGroup.com.
Hi, this is Chelsea Torres, Communications Director with Laborers Union Local 872. Laborers Local 872 is a construction union that strives to obtain more job opportunities for workers and employers. Local 872 is involved in issues that affect our daily lives, from creating good jobs to providing skilled job training, protecting health care, negotiating livable wages, ensuring safe job sites, providing safe neighborhoods for families, and honoring veterans and retirees. Laborers build everything you see on the Las Vegas Strip, from skyscrapers to casinos to stadiums. Laborers work in the tunnels and on the highways. We remediate buildings and make them safe by removing hazardous materials like asbestos and lead. With a legacy of hard work and getting things done, laborers are skilled, productive, proud, and diverse men and women who are building a stronger Nevada. Local 872 loves the Southern Nevada community, and we look forward to continuing to build a better future for all of us. Vegas strong, union proud.
790 Las Vegas and 98.1 Palm Springs. Talk now. Talk that rocks.
We're not gonna take it. No, we ain't gonna take it.
Tomorrow on the show, Wayne Allen Root. Yeah. He'll join us. War Now will join us on the program. I can't wait. I'm so excited. To find out what he thinks. Also, we'll preview the president's speech in New Hampshire. He's going right into Democrat country. He's going to New Hampshire, to Manchester. What will his message be? We'll try and find out before he gives the speech at 4. Okay? Let's go to Paul. It's our wall-to-wall free-for-all. You tell us what you want to talk about. Paul, good morning.
Good morning. Judge Andrew Napolitano, constitutional scholar, August the 8th, 2019, Washington Times. I quote, "The United States Supreme Court has twice ruled in the past 11 years that the right to keep and bear arms is an individual pre-political liberty. That is the highest category of liberty recognized in the law. It is akin to freedoms of thought, speech, and personality. That means that the court has recognized that the framers did not bestow this right upon us. Rather, they recognized its pre-existence as an extension of our natural human right to self-defense, and they forbade government, state, and federal from infringing upon it. If the United States Congress passes any gun control law, it is in violation of the Second Amendment of the Constitution, and lawsuits are going to fly. But, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to tell you, we are not going to comply. Have a nice day, Kevin.
Thanks, Paul. Appreciate it. Yeah, Heller is the most recent of those. We're not talking about militias. We're talking about individuals. It's our wall-to-wall free-for-all. You call in. You tell us what it is you want to talk about. Here's the number, 844, the number 2 Nevada. That's 844-263-8232. By the way, you want to follow me on Twitter? I love it when you follow me on Twitter. At Kevin Wall Radio. I just love it. This hour of Live and Local Now brought to you by Ichabod's Lounge, featuring old-school Vegas atmosphere. In fact, it's one of the top gaming bars in Las Vegas with the best promotions and amazing cash giveaways and payouts. I'm going over there for lunch this afternoon, believe it or not. Ichabod's Vintage Vegas Dining, Gaming Lounge and Piano Bar on East Flamingo at Pecos. That's going to do it. War Now joins us tomorrow. Till then, I'm Kevin Wall. Make the most of the rest of your day, live and local now.